Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. A pretty special podcast this time around. Usually we're talking either football, men's basketball. A very special podcast this time around. We are sitting in Adia Barnes' office, head coach for the women's basketball team. Also here with senior Jalea Bennett and Arizona Daily Star beat writer for the women's basketball team, PJ Brown. So, now that we're all gathered here on the couch, first of all,
our furry pillows.
All the furry pillows. It's pretty comfy. I'm impressed with the setup.
Thanks.
So, we're now here pretty much at the midway point of the Pac-12 season. Coach Barnes, I'll just go ahead and start with you. Your second year here, how do you just kind of digest this whole season?
Well, it's been a hard season just because we're really young. I mean, Jalea and Kat, our fifth-year transfer, they're only seniors with a really young team. So there's been a lot of learning. There's been ups and downs. But I think the main thing, this is a really good group of young women. And it's been a lot of fun to coach them on and off the court. So I think there are bumps in the road. There are times when, you know, it's a lot of learning. And Jalea's been really important for that because she's a senior, she's experienced, so she's been able to kind of be the leader with all of that.
And Jalea, as a senior, what has kind of been the transition for Coach Barnes in her second year?
Well, personally, in high school, I also went through the same thing. 2 years in, I had one coach, and another 2 years, I had a new coach. So it's been something that, you know, I'm more used to than other people, but my biggest thing is I'm here to play basketball, and Adia has really made this year really great for me. So I'm pretty much adjusted really well. So
Yeah, and I was wondering, Adia, what have you learned in the second year with you know, you have a pretty young team besides Jalea over here, and a short bench that we always talk about. What is the biggest thing up into the midpoint that you've learned?
Well, I think patience and you know, trying to find things that give you a chance to win, but then you still have to teach and you still have to think of the big picture and the future. So it's just been, I think, a year that's been hard for me. I'm not used to losing. I've been in really just good situations, but so it's hard. I think it's hard for all of us. But my main thing is, I have to look at the bright spots, and I have to look at things that we do well and that we can continue to build off of, and ways to get this team better. So I think it's definitely helped me as a coach, because you've got to improve, you got to keep your players motivated and optimistic, and find a way, because there is every game is winnable. Now, certain teams are just a lot bigger, have a lot more depth, but you can upset a team any given night. So it's just to keep Jalea motivated to be a leader when things are hard, or when she hasn't played her best couple of games, knowing that her next game she'll, you know, explode. So it's those kind of things that I think make me better and to make all of us better. But it's not easy. It's not easy losing by, you know, almost 40 points at Stanford, or losing by 2 points against the number 23 team here, you know, that was Cal. So those things were so close, but finding a way to get this team, despite all the obstacles, to just kind of turn it on, and I'm hoping we can do that this week against the Washingtons.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find those ways to motivate them? So, you know, I was even looking at Friday night's game against Cal. You had a rough second quarter, but if you look at the box score, first quarter, I think you were down by 5. Last two quarters, you were pretty even. You played pretty even. So what was it in the – take me to the locker room. What did you tell Jalea and her teammates?
Well, that there's a lot of time in the game left and things that we had to do a little better. And just that we can do it. I think that I'm a firm believer 20 minutes is a long time left in the game. So anything can change and happen. And, you know, we've led and lost leads. You've been behind and you come back and win. But I think you just have to look at those things because things can change in one quarter. They can change in 5 minutes. So just keeping us optimistic. And I thought we'd do a lot better at that game because we had so much confidence against them. But, you know, they shot the ball well. They changed their lineup. They were really motivated. But that's okay. It happens. And I think that I can't go in the locker room and just pound on us knowing we're playing against a 6'6 beast inside as a great player in Igwe.
Yeah.
A 6'4 and, like, I'm asking a 5'11, 6-foot post in Destiny that's 50 pounds lighter to battle the whole game. I know it's really hard. So I just have to find ways to keep them motivated. And we're going to figure out ways to win. It's just a matter of when and, you know, against who.
And you were talking about finding those bright spots. As a coach, when you look at, I mean, all the games that you guys have lost, how do you find bright spots?
Well, you find bright spots in, for instance, like against Stanford, we're tied on the boards at half. Now they have way more depth. They're playing a lot more people. They're kind of got us, usually on the court besides Jaleah's position, usually everybody's more athletic and bigger at every position. She's usually the best athlete on the court with both teams. But besides her, we're usually outnumbered in every position or outsized. So you have to look at the bright things like for instance, you know, tied on the boards, only gave up 3 offensive boards first half. Those things that in the first game here, we got beat by 20 rebounds.
Yeah.
So looking at those things or, you know, we've played them close for these 2 quarters or in these 4-minute stretches we won, so let's try to win the next 4 minutes. So you try to make games within a game. And so you're not looking at the big picture. You're not looking at you're down by 10. You're kind of trying to chip away. So those kind of things. And then you look at the positive things like people getting experience. Jaleah's playing the post and the guard. So for her, that makes her more versatile. It only helps her for the future, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she wants to go play pro one day, she can play all these positions. So just trying to find ways. Or, you know, Marley, you know, maybe she's turned the ball over a couple times at the one. Well, I have to give her experience to get her better. So at that point, if we're down by 30 points, I need to give her some of that experience. Let her make mistakes. And there aren't always situations where you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to try and find ways and then try to find just little victories in the game. You know, it could be like Destiny played really strong that game against one of the best post players in the country. So trying to get her to carry that over to the next game. So those are the kind of bright spots you have to look for.
You have like... I know Sean Miller, he says he has 4 10-minute battles. Do you have something kind of similar to that?
Well, yeah, we have 5-minute wars.
Okay.
So they're games within a game. So that's the war that leads you to the media timeout.
Okay.
So we play in five minute segments. So he has 10 minutes because they play
the half,
so it's different. So we play the 5-minute war. It used to be 4, but the medias have changed.
Yeah.
So we try to win every 5-minute war.
Okay.
And if we lose one or tie one, we try to win the next one. So you're not looking at if you're down by 5. You're looking at just that 4 minutes.
Okay.
And it's just, I think it keeps you focused and zoned in on something smaller.
And Jaleah, what do you see from your teammates, different improvements for even in the past, say the past month since the Pac-12 started? It's, you know, how do you see that Sam has improved, and Marley, and go down the line?
Oh, well, I think confidence, definitely. Like, Sam, I remember talking to Sam when we first played Utah. I remember she was saying, like, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm very nervous. But I told her, like, once we got done playing Utah, it's like, jitters out. Like, just go out there and play your game. Like, Marley, like she said, she's getting the experience that she needs. Like, she's actually focusing on, like, making that extra pass, making the right passes, and recognizing her shot selection. Sammy, we're telling her, like, we all trust you to drive the ball. Like, you can drive the ball. She's also a great passer. But I'm letting her know that, like, you have to draw the defense in order to make the right pass or a good pass. So just their confidence, and they're starting to, like, you know, really attack. Like, Sam attacking in transition. It's nice to see her, like, take it coast to coast, get the rebound and try to take it coast to coast. Or just, like, when she recognizes the biggest on her that can't guard her, she's taking it to the basket. It's like they're doing a better job of, like, reading situations, and that makes me very happy for the future for them.
And you were also without Sammy Fatkin over the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell us what happened, the reason why she was absent.
Yeah, she had a family emergency. She has a she had an ill grandmother.
Okay.
So she had to fly there on emergency
because
her grandma was on life support. So she had to go there for that, and I wasn't not going to let her go.
Yeah,
I encouraged. I said, hey, when you need to leave, you can leave today.
Yeah.
So let her do that because I think family is everything, and, you know, things mm-hmm. happen fast and change fast. So we supported her with that, and she'll be back in a couple of days.
That's good. One thing I've been wanting to ask you for a while, and I think this is a good time to talk about it, is that after the NAU game, you know, you talked about how they just weren't getting your defense, mm-hmm. and that you had to go back to the drawing board, figure out a way to teach them. And you did, and a few games later, I mean, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like the defense now is so strong, and you're getting stops, and you're getting, I talked to Sonny about this, you're adding layers each week to your defense, and it's completely different than a month or a month and a half ago. Well, so what was it that you were able to do and figure out how these guys could get it?
Well, at NAU, I was a little surprised because they really just attacked us, and they played really well. They played with a lot of confidence. For them, it was a huge game. It had been, I think, 20 years since they beat a Pac-12 team, so there was a lot. And I think for us as a young team, we didn't expect it. I honestly didn't even expect that. So I think that was kind of a surprise. It was kind of a wake-up call. And then just seeing how we didn't compete defensively, then we started doing defense like every day for weeks. And then we got better because we had to get tougher and we had to kind of get ready. I think we improved. I think just figuring out our identity, because when you're a small team, typically, like last year, we were undersized, but we had a lot of great athletes. So we could press, we can kind of be more aggressive on players, we can, we can blitz, we can do all these things in the full court to change the rhythm of the game. The challenge is now is with our team, Jalea's our main athlete on the floor. So we don't really have the personnel to get out and deny and to press. And we don't have the depth, because last year we were pressing for like 40 minutes, we had more bodies. So trying to find a way to change the rhythm of the game without pressing, which is very hard. It's very hard to change the rhythm of the game when you're sitting in a 2-3 zone. But we're playing better defensively in a 2-3 zone and our zones, and we're better in transition. So I think trying to find something that we can do better that can give us some success that is realistic for us to do. Because if I were to say and put on presses and we're trying to do 40 minutes, we're not going to last. We wouldn't have lasted. We would have had 4 people hurt by this time. So trying to find that balance, and also trying to find the balance of not having 3.5-hour practices, but there's still so much to teach. Mm-hmm. That's hard. It's hard because Marley, you know, Sammy, Kiana, they're very young. They've never been really taught basketball. So, or just reading or different things. So there's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of review that with the older team you don't have to do. So that's about 45 minutes an hour practice every day, having to repeat stuff 20 times. So I think that balance has been tricky, but I think that we've had success in different types of zones, being able to change the rhythm. There is still more that we should be doing. Like last year at this point, we had probably 6-7 more offenses. But we're not capable of doing that. So I have to be a realist, thinking like, okay, what can we do? What can we execute? What can we grasp and try to have some success? And it's not easy.
Is that something you look for when you recruit, is pretty much their knowledge of basketball? Or
no, because you can't really tell that. I think you can tell someone's basketball IQ of, like, if they're a great passer, but it's hard in the recruiting process to know if someone can retain the offenses.
Yeah.
Or to know if someone can, like, run a play. I think that you can't really tell that in recruiting, because it depends on the system they're in, you know, and, like, for instance, Marley never really had to run plays because she just kind of just played. They kind of just played. It's Chicago, so you can kind of dribble and play basketball, and it's kind of like street ball sometimes, which is great. It's fun, but it's different. So, but then when you're now at Division I level and you're a point guard, and I'm saying get Jalea on the ball on the right wing off of a post-up, you got to know what play to run, and I help, but it's like it's totally different. I think it's a learning curve, and the point guard position is the hardest position for a freshman. But you just have to teach all that. Or when someone goes under the screen, what do you do? A lot of high school kids aren't taught that stuff, and it takes a long time. It takes years of repetition. It doesn't just happen in a month. So it's hard to tell that stuff in high school because the basketball's so bad. And in AAU, no one's really passing the ball, or they're just kind of just playing. So it's hard to tell. I think as we're getting better and the program's getting better, you can be more specific, and you can really get specialists for what you need. Like, if you really need a shooter, you find someone who's a knockdown shooter. If you really need a big, it's just, but I think some of the other stuff is hard to tell.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be with this year, we have 3 or 4 people that really need a lot of reps. And so it slows down the whole process. And it's okay, it happens. But it's harder. And would you say so, Jalea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then those are challenges that teams go through. Every team does that, but usually it's not like three or four or five freshmen at once. Even next year it's going to be a challenge because we're going to have five freshmen. So it's going to be similar again.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're hoping that a couple grasp it faster. And then I also have to, next year I think we'll be in a different situation, but you got to also hold people accountable. And when you're better and more talented as a team, what happens is it puts more pressure on people to learn faster. And if they don't, they'll never play. So they get motivated to go on their own and learn. It's just a different situation now, and it's, you know, it's different. So, you know, if you told Julia, if you don't learn to play, you will never, ever play. You know what she's going to be doing? She's going to be going and doing it on her own and stuff. But we're young, so we didn't have that luxury. And even Julia's like, pay attention. And they talk about it as players, but it's a learning curve.
Kate Reese is the first McDonald's All-American here. Mm-hmm. What does that kind of say for not only you but your staff and going out and getting players such like her?
Well, I think it's just it's a huge accomplishment for the program. It's an honor to have a McDonald's All-American. We signed a couple at Washington before. Mm-hmm. But here at Arizona, I was surprised there hasn't been one in the program ever, but I think it's exciting. I think it shows the what the future is going to have in this program, and that players are attracted and want to come here. And I think in the years to come we'll have more McDonald's All-Americans, but it's huge because there's three in the Pac-12 next year. Stanford has one, Cal has one, and we have one. Mm-hmm. So I think it says a lot for this program and that how it's attractive, and to have the number 4 class in the country, players want to play here. And they want to build something special, and we will do it in the future.
Julia, whenever these recruits come and visit campus, what are kind of some things that you do or activities? What do you tell them?
I like going to the movies.
Okay.
Yeah, but she does a really good job with the recruits.
I think just I really relate to them. So, but the biggest thing is I like going to the movies. There's a lot of places out here, a lot more places out here than I expected. Like... Fantastics. They have a Topgolf here now. Yeah, David Buster's especially. But, you know, just taking them places, like, let them know, like, it's Tucson, you know, because when I came here, I didn't even know this city, Tucson, really, because, you know, Texas kids, all we know is Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I'm just letting them know, like, there's a lot of places in Tucson.
What's your favorite part of Tucson?
Tucson Mall.
Tucson Mall?
Yeah.
Any, like, or, like, food or anything? Like,
food places. Yeah, I actually like... Mr. Ons,
that's pretty good. That's,
I love Mr. Ons, yeah. I also like Benihana, but that's in Phoenix, but who cares?
Yeah.
But Mr. Ons is, like, exactly the same. I never heard of that until I came here, so.
Okay. And when you're, you know, talking with the recruits, are you kind of, do you kind of wear that badge of, I'm the pioneer of Adia Barnes? You know, I was the one who kind of laid the foundation for future success?
Yeah, but my biggest thing with them is letting them know, like, it's a process, like, when I came in, I was told, like, we're building. And that's what really makes me happy. And I even told Adia, like, I'm excited to see where this program is going because, like I said, when I came here, I wanted to build. And I feel like that's exactly what we're doing. Like, obviously, this year is not going to be the best year, but I just know after this year, like, they're going to continue to go up and up. And that just really excites me because...
Is that bittersweet for you? I mean, knowing that, you know, you want to be a winner here, but at the same time, you're setting up the program.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, it's bittersweet because, you know, I wish I could. Like, I really wish I could play with Ari, Dom, and TC just practicing with them. It'd be a lot of fun. And they keep telling me that they wish they'd play with me, but, you know, everything happens for a reason, and the biggest thing is that they're going to be good. They're going to be set next year.
She'll be coming around supporting us a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
She'll be visiting us from her pro, during her pro season breaks. And. Yeah. Being a good role model, and she's also been really important with this process of recruiting. She's done a great job with whenever we have players or families on campus, and that's important because if you don't have that, you don't have the chance to sign in the number 4 class in the country. So
sure.
She's been a really, really instrumental in all of those things.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about your recruiting this year? We haven't talked about it. I'm sure that there's been, you know, a lot of visits, and I know that Morgan and Sonny and everybody's been on the road going and scouting everybody out and everything. Where does that stand right now?
So right now, we're going to have a lot of players next year. So in our 2018 class, we'll have 5 freshmen and we'll have 3 transfers that are able to play. And TT should be back from her injury, from her hip injury. So that's a lot of people. And ideally in the future, you don't want 8 players in 1 year. It's a lot. the positive side is the three players that are here, the transfers, they are practicing. They'll know some of the sets. We'll run some different things because we'll be bigger, but they'll have a foundation and kind of be able to help lay the land for the freshmen. In the future, you don't want classes of five. You definitely don't want classes of eight. So in a couple of years, we'll be able to start evening out the classes. So in 2019, we'll have two. And then in 2020, we'll have, I think, three. So you want to just ideally have two or three. You don't want to have five or six in your class. That's just not good recruiting. That's kind of what we were dealt with when we got here. But it's a good thing is we were able to get such great kids in that class. So next year, with those five kids coming in, it's the McDonald's All-American, Kate Reese, who's a four, really aggressive, tenacious, like a fighter. We have another four who's a great athlete out of Seattle, Washington. I recruited her at Washington when I was there. And then we'll have Valeria Trucco, who's a five-star kid from Italy, who's a really good shooter. She's like 6'3", 6'4", great shooter. So they're all very different.
Okay.
Then we have Samaje Smith, who is 6'6", and she's from San Diego. She's like 6'5", not San Diego, from L.A., 6'5", 6'6". She's from Los Angeles, actually Long Beach area. And she'll come in. She'll be the five.
Okay.
So she's like a true five. Then we have Bryce Nixon, who probably she might be scoring her 2,000 point tonight. We're hoping. She's 24 points away. So huge for her. But she's an in-state kid. In the future, Arizona really hasn't had in-state kids for a long time.
Yeah.
Davlon White was the last really good in-state kid. So she's a tall guard that's a shooter.
And you're getting these recruits from Phoenix. Just right in ASU's backyard.
Yeah, so she was heavily recruited. It was us, Oregon State. I don't think ASU recruited her hard because she doesn't really fit their style.
Yeah.
But it was like Oregon State, us, Washington, a lot of Pac-12 schools. So she's a great get. So we have some really good kids and some really good people and players. And they're all good students and well-rounded, but they're all very different. So we go from not having any size this year to having a tremendous amount of size. So we'll have, you know, if you see 6'5", 6'4", 6'2", 6'2", and then a 5'11 guard. So we get a lot bigger.
Absolutely.
So, and then with our pieces that we have, like Marley, Lucia, Sam, we'll be a pretty complete team. And then in 19, we'll go after probably a pure shooter. And I'd like to maybe get another tall wing. And then we're just pretty much...
And so, right now you're recruiting for 19.
Yeah, we're recruiting for 19. We're not recruiting any more 18. We're pretty much done with 18. So we're recruiting 19, 20, 21, but like focused on 19. And it's hard to get a when you have such a solid 18 class. It's really hard to get a home run 19 class.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are seeing who you have and where they fit in. So 19, like a lot of people have three or four commitments. We don't have any for 19. We'll probably have ours late, but we only need to get two so we can be really selective on the two and we're on some really, really talented players. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that should do it. We should probably do this again soon
over
at Mr. Ons.
Yeah. Right. Your treat.
Treat. All right. Well, for PJ, Jalea, Coach Adia Barnes, thank you.
Thank you.
We always appreciate it. And don't forget to download the Wildcaster app available on Tucson.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.